All right, let's continue our studies that we started the last time, and we titled it The Birth of a New Generation. And you will remember where we started from. We read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, and there Moses was analyzing the things that happened, and he explained to them that up to the point when he was speaking, he said, now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. All right. Now, the point I just made there is that what God was saying is that there was a generation, and that generation could not take the promised land. I explained in detail last week, and I wanted to bear it in mind, that it's an issue with generations and their ability to take a promised land. That is, if God wants to give people something, that there are times that they cannot receive it. I explained something last week, and I should emphasize it again. And that's the fact that God is kind. He does not make mistakes. I said, even when he's punishing people, it is not just because of anger. It's because of the knowledge and the vision of the total picture. If you read a lot of, during the, that's in the Old Testament, you see God will command Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. He will tell you that when you enter that land, kill everybody. Make sure that there is nobody that you leave there that is alive. And his reason is not because of personal anger towards the people, but because he has seen that no matter what you do, these people they are no longer redeemable. That's one message I hardly preach for certain reasons. There are people you can't tell. Let me just say that you and I cannot place our hands on and say this person is irredeemable. But there are actually people who are walking around on the earth, and God has judged them irredeemable. I will tell you this, and it sounds like a surprise to you. By the time Judas entered into the ministry of Jesus, the Lord had judged him irredeemable. By the time Pharaoh was going to become Pharaoh, the one that persecuted the children of Israel, the Bible says that there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. God had judged that Pharaoh was irredeemable. And Paul said that what happens that God was enduring the vessels of wrath that were kept for destruction. Why did he endure them? It's because he said in Proverbs that God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked man for his role in the day of destruction. Now, please, you cannot go around judging who's redeemable or not. You don't know the heart of man. Do you understand my point? Yeah, that's just how God is. So when God looks and says, these people, they cannot be redeemed. What are you going to do about them? Then he goes ahead and he destroys. I remember last week I analyzed the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah, that when Abraham was praying, he was actually showing us the mind of God, how God reasons. That God had looked and said, if I find 50 righteous people, I will not come and destroy. If I find 10, I will not come and destroy. That I couldn't find 10 righteous people is a sign that that land or the people upon that land can no longer be redeemed. So he destroyed all of them, and the few righteous people, relative, because it's what I call righteousness in your generation. I preached that on radio some time ago. That in each generation, there's what the Bible calls righteousness in your generation, in which a man is outstanding above that which is common. Now, you have to be careful as Christians. That's where God wants us to step into. Jesus will tell you that except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the few people, that's Lot and his family, that were righteous in the eyes of God in that generation, God pulled them out and he liquidated every other person. And I said the reason is because where God is taking people to, there are those who cannot enter it because of the state of their heart. And if we are going to be blessed, take our nation as an example. If God is going to bless this nation, the first thing that he will do is to bring forth a new generation. I remember something, I told you I heard myself say something on radio once. I was just listening to the old messages I had preached. That before the blessing of God comes, the first thing he does is he releases his word. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to bring forth a new generation by the release of that word. He wants people to change their hearts, because until you have become a part of that new generation, you cannot enter into the promise of God. And that's why we refer to severally 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, seeing that we have these promises, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Please quickly go there. I think it's important we look at it. Chapter 6 and verse 14. It said, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He said, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. And now, please, I want you to notice that I will walk in them and walk among them. The new generation are the people that God is walking in and walking among. He said, they will be my people while I am their God. For that reason, the Lord said, come out from their midst. What is their midst? I will discuss that one today. Coming out from their midst and be separate. He said, and do not touch what is unclean. There are things that we encounter every day and they are unclean. And God said, don't touch that thing. It is unclean. He said, and I will welcome you and I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me. Now, if you see, the next verse says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What is he saying? If you are going to step into the kingdom of God, if you are going to inherit the promises that God has given to you, the first thing you must do is to cleanse yourselves of all defilement. Because he said, what is defilement? There are things that people touch that are unclean. That's what he called defilement. These are the things that defile the flesh. And he said, the first thing is you step out from the midst of those who trade in those things, from the midst of those who settle on those matters, in which that is their lifestyle. He said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the way of sinners. I hope I'm not mixing it up too much. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That is, you must separate yourself from the counsel of the wicked if you are going to cleanse yourself of defilement. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Now, so what God does is that he first sends his word, because what washes us is the washing of water by his word. The deliverance that we need from the world is the washing of water by God's word. You know, I like one thing. If you listen to the message that Chike preached that day in church, what he shared, I said something that we go through a process. He said that we are being washed. He said, in the last few years, my brain has been corrected by the word of God. I noticed those statements because that's how it works. There are many things that God wants to bring people into. The first thing he does is to cleanse them by the washing of water by the word. What is he doing? He's removing that which is unclean. The problem with things that are unclean, they are like bacteria. You know, they are like infectious agents. They spread death into the perfect thing that God wants to give to you. Do you follow what I'm going to say? And that's why number one, what you do is to cleanse yourself of that which is imperfect. Listen, God made the earth, made everything perfect. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, this I have also found out, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, whatever God does is designed to be forever. Do you understand what I'm going to say? It's designed to endure. But the problem is that people forsake the order of God and they put uncleanness into the thing. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Now, we'll develop all those things later. What I want to emphasize, however, again, is the fact that before God blesses people, he first spreads his word into them. Do you get my point? He said, and the earth, he said, they shall not hurt in all my holy mountain. We're describing the things that God will do. He said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Now, it is those who the knowledge of God that entered into their hearts that will be able to step into the new thing that God wants to do. Are you getting my point? So we're talking about our nation, Nigeria, as an example. Very good example. You know, I really thank God for my life. When I say thank God for my life, things I have seen, things I have experienced, and being born in Nigeria that helped me to understand the things of God properly. Do you follow what I mean? That you see a transition, that God wants to birth a new thing on the earth. The first thing he does is to birth a new generation of people. It's when he has birthed a new generation of people that they will be able to enter into the promised land, and not before that. Do you get my point? You cannot carry the old habits and carry them into the promised land. No, it doesn't work. What he said is that if you want to pour out new wine, you must use new wineskin. That you cannot sew a piece of new cloth onto an old unshrunk cloth. He said you will destroy both of them. If you pour new wine into an old wineskin, the old wineskin will burst and you will lose both the new wine and the wineskin. So God doesn't want to bring, all right, a new thing, a good thing, and have it inhabited by the old generation of people, what will happen is that they will destroy the new and destroy themselves in the process. So if God wants to bless us, he said, first, I call a new generation of people out. Do you follow what I mean? And that's what we're talking about, the birthing of a new generation. You are following me, right? Okay, I just wanted to recap some of the things that we have said and see how it will affect what we are going to say today. Now, to begin today's message, that's just a review. To begin today's message and to continue from where we stopped, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience." Now please notice, "Amongst them you too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." That is, the things you were doing made you absolutely subject to the wrath of God. He said, "However," verse 4, "God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions," or if you have King James, he says trespasses, "he made us alive together with Christ." He said, "And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, what I want to bring out from there, let me just quickly explain it. There are other things further down. But what I want to bring out from there is the issue of the fact that he was writing to believers, and he was describing what they were, all right? He said, "You were dead or subject to spiritual death, inside, under the reign of death, because of your sins and trespasses." And he said, "In these sins and trespasses, you formerly walked according to the course of this world." What I want to bring out from there is that there is a course that this world is walking. And he said, "According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience." Please, that's what I want to teach today. I'm talking about coming out from amongst them and being separate. He said, there is a course that this world is walking, that is a way in which they are walking, a direction that they are following. That's number one. And that this is energized, listen to this, by the plan of the prince of the power of the air. All right? And what this prince does is to spread a spirit. Now, that's what I want to bring out. It spreads a spirit, and that spirit walks in the sons of disobedience. Please follow me. This actually my main message for today is being picked from here. I want to explain something about spiritual walking. I've said this again and again, that Christians sometimes misunderstand the way things are. They wrongly focus their energy. People stay up all night. What they want to pray about, what? Witches and wizards, people who are afflicting them. Unfortunately, a lot of the people praying against witches and wizards are cooperating with those witches and with those wizards. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the way by which they are walking. What they don't understand is that the major problem is not the witch you claim is disturbing you, which of course you know most times there's no witch. Nobody has your time, actually. You think everybody... No, you see, life is so hard that most people are so focused on their own issues that they don't have most people, other people's time. Now, of course, I know there are people like that. There are evil people. Please, let me just say that. Now, so I'm just trying to emphasize something. There are people who focus so much on their enemies, they don't really realize where their problem is. Are there problems out there? Yes, most certainly. But the main problem is not the one most people are chasing. Jesus said something that, "I know there is a devil out there. I know that there is a prince of this world." He said, "And I know he's coming." He said, "But there's nothing he can do to me." He said, "He has nothing in me." That is, before he can do anything, there must be something inside me that he can lay hold on and say, "This one is my own." I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. No, what I'm saying is so important. This is how the world is. I want to try and explain it. There is a curse of this world, and there is a prince of the power of the air. Now, what does the prince of the power of the air do? It spreads a kind of spirit, and that's what I want to explain. Now, the people who are fighting witches, fighting wizards, fighting Satan, they are drinking of the spirits of the prince of the power of the air. Now, please, let me explain what I'm saying further. How many of you have read this book? You know, if you don't read, there will be a lot of things you don't know. Do you understand? Please, make it a habit. Always read something. Always read. Always read. All right? Now, Rick Joyner's book, Final Quest, is a book I think every Christian should read. It was a prophetic message, and I believe it was addressed to the whole body of Christ. Therefore, everybody should read it. It's called The Final Quest. Now, in that book, Rick Joyner described a spirit that you see, an evil spirit is riding on one person, and it's pouring its effect upon people. Now, let me explain the meaning of that word spirit again. Now, when we use the word spirit, a lot of times people don't, they think the spirits are always personalities. They are not always personalities. The word spirit, as a matter of fact, is used, all right? That word spirit is used to describe individuals, usually when you feel their effect and you can't see them. He will tell you that he makes his ministers spirits, all right? And his messengers what? Flames of fire. That is talking about the angels of God. That you can't see them, but you can feel their effect. That's why I use the word spirits to describe them. It will tell you that God is spirit, literally, all right? God is in the spiritual realm, he was saying. And those that worship him, we worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to explain something here. That when we use the word spirit, actually, is not personalities we describe most of the times. We use it applied to describe personalities. So you talk about somebody having an evil spirit. Do you understand my point? So you can't see the individual affecting him. There is a dethroned angel and a disembodied angel that is afflicting the person, a messenger of Satan, but you can't see him. So you say he has an evil spirit. I'm trying to bring out something. But the word spirit, most of the times in the scriptures, is used actually to describe the power that is exerted that we can feel. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So it is possible for one person. Now listen to this. You find out that one man is there and he's pouring a spirit upon people. I was watching something the other day, that was just yesterday and the day before, about the issue in Iraq. And Americans, of course, they are planning to leave Iraq because you know that their presence is an issue in Iraq. So they are trying to see how they can pull out of Iraq, but then have a long, an agreement that will spread over a long time, allowing them to have military bases inside Iraq. And all the Iraqis are disagreeing. They will not agree. And people are out protesting. Why are they protesting? I'm bringing up something. There's one Islamic cleric that's very influential. Do you understand? And simply he said, protest. And that's it. Everybody's out protesting. Ask an average person, what are they protesting about? We don't know. But Mohammed Al-Wasada, I've forgotten his proper name, how to pronounce his proper name. He said, we should protest. And they're out there. What has he done? He has poured a spirit of protest into the people. I don't know whether you're getting my point. No matter what you say, the guy will continue protesting because he's subject to that spirit that man is pouring forth. Please, what I'm saying is very important. That's why Jesus will tell you about my sheep that know my voice, all right? And the voice of a stranger, they will not obey. Now, listen, you know, where was I preaching? I said this thing, that you must be moved by something. There's nobody on this earth that just gets up and says, this is what I want to do. No, really. What you do is that you expose yourself to influences. Do you follow my point? You expose yourself to influences. That message I told that Chike preached on Sunday in church, there was something he said to me that for me was so significant. He said, the first time he came to this church, not here, of course, our church, the Waterhouse, and he was saying that he heard somebody preach, that was Larry. And Larry said something. He said at the end of the day, he went to go and meet Larry and said, like, look, this thing you said, now, please listen to this. So the first time he heard, he said, these guys are lunatics. Something was wrong with them. But then he told himself that, well, I have been sane and I have not progressed. Do you understand my point? Maybe I should listen to these lunatics and they will be able to help me. Now, are you following what I'm saying? They now went to Larry and talked to him and the man spoke to him. Now, listen to what I'm trying to say. That's why words are so powerful. You may want to succeed until somebody... Now, you know what to do, but sometimes you phone somebody and ask the person, what should I do? And then the person tells you what to do. You will tell him, I knew that's what you say. I just wanted to hear you say it. Why? Because you need the power to move you to do that which you know is right. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's the way life is. Something will always move you. What you do for yourself. For example, you are here today. You are listening to me. There are few things in life you can do better than being present at a place like this. To get up. Leave every other thing you are doing to go and be present in where the word of God is being taught is the greatest thing you can do for yourself in life. Why? Because the life of the believer is not the life of struggle. It's a life that is energized by the power of God. That if God says something, he doesn't advise people. What does he do? He empowers them. He said, neither do I condemn you. go and sin no more. There is a power in that word that will help that person not sin anymore. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm talking about the word spirit. So people are always moved by something. Now, what moves people, all right, is that thing I'm talking about. That there is a spirit. That's what the Bible calls spirit. You will get to a place, they'll say, these people are very materialistic. And is a people. Is a whole set of people. They'll say, these people are wicked. Let me give you an example. You know, I told you that one day I was watching one of these movies made about Moses, the Exodus, you know. And along the line, now, I had seen that the Bible says that Amalek will be destroyed. And the reason was because of the sin they committed against the children of Israel when they were coming down from the promised land. But something struck me in that movie. They were trying to depict the kind of people that the Amalekites were. That you will find out that in this movie, what happened? They will suddenly see some migrating Jews, all right? They are dead. Their goods have been plundered. And Moses will get there, bow down, look at the corpses and say, Amalekites. Do you understand my point? That they were very good with sneaking in from behind, preying on the weak people. Are you getting my point? And all the Amalekites are like that. Now, let me tell you something. All of them were like that. How do you know? God destroyed all of them. If they were not all like that, God wouldn't destroy them like that. Now, I know what I'm saying. Now, maybe not every one of them would have gone on such escapades. But in their hearts, they are all like that. They prey on the weak. They are very wicked people. You get to a place, they will say that everybody here is selfish. And that's the way they are. You get to a place, see, people here are very generous. Now, I said something before that, please, let's be careful as Christians when we are judging things. Now, what I mean is this. There are people who tell you that, don't mind, these things are barbaric. Those are those days. Things like that don't happen anymore. The man talking, he doesn't have any power helping him. Let me give you an example. You say that, look, you can't marry from here, you can't marry from there. You ask your parents, why can't I marry from here? You say, these people are like this. People will say that, why do you judge everybody by one particular standard? I mean, I've said that in the past, but I don't say such things anymore. It's rather nonsense. The truth is that when they said that, they are not lying. Now, please, I'm coming to something. In fact, I don't know whether this one will be right. I don't watch movies much, all right? I watch few movies, and I hardly watch new ones. Most of the time, I watch the ones I watched before. There's a movie we had in my house. I won't tell you the name of the movie so that you won't go and, because of me, go and watch it, you know, that kind of thing. You say, oh, this is the movie Pastor Banky was talking about. Let me see the movie. No, I won't tell you the name. At the point in time, my wife says, you go and break the CD so that she started seeing it, all right? It's a mafia movie. There are movies I like. I love Chinese films. Yes, people always laugh when I say it. They say that the films don't make sense. You just start fighting. You don't understand. It's a fight I came to watch. I didn't come to watch the sense. I came to watch the fight. Fight over what I watch. I love Chinese films. And for me, a lot of those things is funny, but they're spiritual. You know, people will say that. I'm telling you, people say that, is it possible? This is not possible. What I see is different, you know. You see one single man attack 200 people and fight and fight and fight and fight. Yeah, it's a joke. I say, read the Bible. The Bible is also a joke. It's in the Bible. The men of David, one man defend a field of lentils against 300 men. Fight. No, one man. Yeah, it's in the Bible. He said, no, those things are not necessarily jokes. There was one I saw, a friend of mine said, you like Chinese, so he sent me one. There are things I see, you know, maybe beyond what everybody else is saying. You will see the way the guys prepare. You will know that this one, people are shallow. Those guys were deep. So I apart from their fight, I watch other things. I see the way one person prepares to fight and then how he tackles 50 people. And those days we say, na photo trick. But I found out that photo tricks, do you follow, are born of real stories. Do you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. In fact, I know I'm digressing, but we learn a lot when I digress. You've heard of Greek mythology. You know, they talk about Hercules, one man who single-handedly did this. They talk about Achilles. Talk about all those things. Those things are not jokes. People think that they are Greek stories, all right? But those people actually lived. Don't think they are jokes. And there are Bible records that show that they lived. Listen to me. When you hear of Og of Bashan, what do you think those people were? Those giants, the Bible will talk about those were the renowned men of old. It's in the Bible. No, it's not a joke. Now, the story may not be accurate anymore. All right? But you hear that a whole man defended, one single man defended the whole city. It's not a joke. It's not a lie. It really happened. Those were the giants that the Israelites had to face and destroy. Why do you think the Israelites ran? That anyway, let me not digress what I'm going to say. So, this is like, I like some strange movies. Sometimes I like watching mafia movies also, for certain reasons also. Anyway, but this particular one, all right? In it, one girl wanted to marry a guy from a rival clan. You know what I mean? Family. And the girl said, the father said simply, these people are not good people. And the girl said, you judge him without even meeting him. And the father said, I don't have to meet him. I know his father. And of course, let me cut the long story short. If you read, if you watch the full version of the movie, most of the ones circulating around is the detailed one. I saw the full one. You find out that the man was right. I know it's a movie, but it's based on truth. The man was right. The boy was just as bad as his father. It's just that he had not yet fully manifested. Are you getting my point? So people will tell you that, we're from area. They're like this. They're like this. They are not lying. Those things are based on truth. You hear that, if you go to this area, the people here, they don't take marriage serious. But you love the guy so much. Your stomach doesn't settle. If you eat food, doesn't digest until it shows up. Oh boy, it does not in any way reflect what is inside the heart. Even he may not know it's there. Because there's what the Bible calls the spirit, the prince, there's what he calls the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that walks in the sons of disobedience. It's a spirit. It's lying there, dormant. So I said that, look, so don't shout and say, this is barbaric. Remember the story I told? They said that, how can you marry from this area? There are people who are cursed. He said, it doesn't matter. Listen to me, it matters. Because if I had walked up to you and told you this is the son of Gehazi, do you want to marry? You will see yourself, you change your mind. Because remember that Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman is their portion. You follow what I'm trying to say? Now, so I want, because sometimes people argue on premises that don't make sense. When you want to argue, you must have a sound premise. What is my premise? My premise is simple. If a man in the world says that, it's okay by him, by me. What I am angry with is when a believer says it. Because for the Christian, the Bible says, if any man being in Christ is a new creature, all things, the curses on Gehazi, they are passed away and everything has become new. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is why, as a Christian, I don't get up and say something is barbaric. No. It's ignorant people who have not yet tapped into the realm of the spirit that cause some things barbaric. You can be a Harvard professor. Yourself, Harvard, now who says barbaric? Ask him, Oga, when last did you go to the village? He says barbaric. Ask the Harvard man, when last did he go to his village? He knows that something they there. He knows. He's just pretending. But I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere. Because the he that dwells in me is greater than he that dwells in the world. I can go anywhere. Because I'm seated on the right hand of the throne of God with Christ Jesus. I can go anywhere. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. I can go anywhere. I dare any witch that wants to die to try me. I'm not saying it's barbaric. I am saying power past power. Do you get my point? That's it. So, when we are talking, when I say the people from here are not good people, I'll say, Daddy, this one is a Christian. You see, that's, we don't understand the meaning of the word Christianity. We think Christianity is about going to church. No, people should hear the name Christian and instantly know that the case is different. And listen to me, let me tell you, saints of God, that's what God wants to do with your life. That is, it becomes a story. He said, no, my daughter, you can't marry from here. You know the men from there. They are wicked. They are like this. They are like that. You now say, but mommy, this one is a Christian. The moment she hears it, she just remember that, that was what we said about Mr. ABC 15 years ago. But look at it. He has become a good man. He's the best husband that any girl in this village has married. And we remember then they told us he's a Christian. Can you remember? So that the moment she hears he's a Christian, she pulls back a bit and says, well, if you say so, sharp, but, you know, she now starts looking for another story. But instantly, when she hears this one is a Christian, something should spark. Listen, my friends, that's what Christianity is about. What am I going to explain? I'm trying to use that one to explain the meaning of the word, the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. That's why you hear that people like this are like are this way. And it appears like every one of them you meet, that's the way they are. Because actually, in life, there are princes. Did you hear what I said? There are what? Princes. I can tell you something. There is a prince whose name is corruption that reigns in Nigeria. You see your brother? The Cameroon. They are about the same rank. You see them everywhere. Let me explain something. You get to some of these European countries, they don't believe in God. The average person on the streets will tell you they don't believe in God. But this has been done. You drop money on the floor. Nobody steals it. The only person that touches it takes it to the police station. That's why I've heard Christians, people tell me that. I don't understand people's Christianity. Everybody goes to church, but the country is just worse than there's ever been. I don't understand Christianity. These white people don't believe in God, but they are very nice people. They say things like that. We don't have all the time to start analyzing, but let me give you a bit of insight. They are not lying. But what happened is that before now, all right, their fathers drove away all those kind of spirits. The spirits have not rebuilt in those places. The average person there does not understand why he should steal. It's not because he's righteous or he's wicked, but there's no force pushing him towards stealing. It takes a while to enthrone it again. That's the summary. So everywhere he goes, there's what they call the prince of the power of the air. It will manifest in other areas. But that spirit of stealing and corruption is just not there. Now listen to me. It's not as if he's strong and he's well trained. But the fact is that the activity of that spirit is not strong in his area. But you get down to Nigeria. Ah, God. The spirit born Pekin. Put all of them on, in service in Nigeria. And say, a few of you go and help my cousin in Cameroon. I leave some in Pakistan. All right? A lot of them are in India. But it colonized a lot of Asian and African countries. So that everywhere you go, it's just there. You know, the people don't try. You have to work against that spirit. I'm coming to something. We have to understand this. Because I said, don't forget, to inherit promises, generations must change. Do you get my point? What God does is to build an ark. All right? Because he's going to judge. He has to do that because he looks and says, these ones are irredeemable. The only solution to those who are irredeemable is destruction. And before he does that, he pulls out the people who he can redeem that seem to apparently belong to, at least chronologically now, to the time of that previous generation. So what we are preaching to people, all right, is that for them to inherit God's promises, they must be baptized, in quotes, all right, by the washing of water by the word, washing out away their old nature and bringing them into a particular new generation. You are getting the point I'm making. So I'm trying to explain this principle. So you find out that the prince is out there. What is pouring out is that spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience. So you see, the man is not trying to be disobedient. All right? It's just inside him. People have told me before that Muslims can die for their religion. I say, you know, you say such things because you don't understand the power of spirits. No suicide bomber does it out of dedication, not one. None. There is a spirit that is inside them. Professor Ayo Benitez says something. He's a psychiatrist, was a lecturer when I was in university. He said that, he wrote it actually, that Africans hardly commit suicide. Hardly. Hardly. The spirit, no. I'm giving you theology about it now. The spirit is not active amongst Africans. Commit suicide. For what? Commit suicide. Instead of commit suicide, they kill somebody else. Why should they commit suicide? But, white man, stock price drop, ain't go jump. Woman, divorce him, he go shoot. You see some kind, nah, that's not a joke. There is a spirit called suicide. Listen to me. All these things you see in the world, all these evil you find here and there, they have spirits that bear those names. that is, if you were to get down to the conference room of Satan, and you say, Mr. Devil, you say, how are you? He said, please, what's that guy's name? He said, his name is Corruption. They don't have any other name. That's it. It's angels that you start finding names like Gabriel, Michael. Demons bear their foolish actions by name. That is, he said, what is your name? He said, my name is Mother. That is, no armed robber goes out if I don't send him. No, that's the way it is. Now, what is the story of Rwanda and Burundi? A man who has never hurt a fly gets up and kills his neighbor. And you think it's not a spirit. When the spirit departs, the guy wakes up. Let me tell you about the power of spirits. I must explain this thing. And that's why I was sharing this with my wife. Okay, no, I didn't even tell her this. It was something we're discussing. Counseling, you know, some people and all that. Something we're discussing. I was supposed to tell her this, I forgot. That you see, spirits, they can put pressure on people. That when the person departs, when the spirit departs, the person will wonder, why did I do that? When Amnon was going to rape Tamar, remember the story? The guy said, I love Tamar so much, I can't eat. It was a spirit. Look, listen. What happened was that there was a judgment upon the house of David. So to incite problem, a spirit lashed onto that young man's brain. Listen to me. The spirit of lust for that girl gripped his head. As soon as he did his work, he left. Suddenly the guy woke up and the Bible says that another spirit replaced it. I'm adding my own words now. That suddenly he hated her with more hatred than the love with which he loved her. What does that tell you? This is an ordinary eye. Put pressure. Look, put that young man under so much pressure. As soon as the spirit of lust left, the spirit of hatred jumped into his head. The guy looked at the girl and said, I will kill you if you don't get out of here. This is a girl who 5 minutes ago, you will die if the king doesn't let you marry her. Oh God. Listen with the issue. Life is very spiritual. Very, very. Very, very spiritual. I hope you're getting my point. I want us to understand this. So that when you see things, don't be angry, with human beings. It's not them. Jesus looked and said, Father, forgive them. What is the point? They don't know what they are doing. Remember what I said? No, we turned into a joke. This is the devil's work. Satan pushed me. I said, listen, brethren, Satan pushes people. How do you know? The Bible said after Judas finished eating with Jesus Christ, Satan entered him. Gave him the strength to go and betray Jesus Christ. It was hard. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Now, that activity, he said, is working in the sons of disobedience. But let's talk about the Christian. He said, amongst them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that is, because of these works, naturally, we were children of wrath, even as the rest. He said, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. All right? He said, by grace, you have been saved. Now, what am I trying to explain? That take that corruption matter as an example. The Bible says that, now I've explained that what is empowering it, we can't hide from it, is called the prince of the power of the air. Are you getting the point? Now, the interesting part is that sometimes, if you read this book, The Triumphant Church, it's a good book also by Kenneth Hagin. So people will get up and they begin to pray, casting out spirits, from the heavenlies and all of that. He said it's a useless prayer, it's a waste of time. And I agree with him. And my reason is because they always have a strength to stay where they are. You can't by voice drive them away if there's an anchor that's keeping them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me give you an example. I read a book some time ago, Rebecca Brown, yes. She talked about the girl that they were delivering and all of that. And this girl kept on, the demons wouldn't go away. Now, please, let me say something. Be careful how you build doctrines on experiences. We use experiences to explain the written word of God. We don't rewrite the written word of God because of somebody's experience. Do you understand my point? But anyway, in that book, she explained some things. One of the things she explained is the fact that they kept on delivering this lady. They will cast out the demons through the window. They will come back through the roof. Then they will build spiritually. It was a lot of gymnastics. Now, be careful when you are following people. Sometimes people are doing things, they don't know what they are doing. Yinka gave me this man's book, Pat Robertson. A lot of people read that story and want to do what Pat Robertson did. And you will know that half of the story, the man showed to me that he was a child taking actions. No, really. If you had a little bit of spiritual understanding, you know that half of the things he did were wrong. And he's not saying they were right. He's just narrating that that's what he did. Do you follow my point? It was born out of immaturity. Period. Spiritual immaturity. So be careful when you are copying things. So he says spiritually, they will build a wall. Then the demons will find out that there's one door in the spirit they didn't close. Then they will jump in through there. Then they will start praying. The demons will all vanish. Then they will spiritually, in the realm of the spirit, they will close the door and see in the vision that the door has been closed. And they are rejoicing. They are rejoicing. They find that there's a leaking roof and the demons have passed through the leaking roof. Then they will drive out the demons. And then spiritually, they will block the leaking roof. And then they will see in the realm of the spirit that the roof has been repaired. And they will start rejoicing. There's something saying that the doors didn't reach the floor and the demons have crawled in under the door. Then spiritually, they will drive out these demons and block the crack in the door. After a while, she told her, when she had gotten exhausted, she said, "Wait, something must be going on here." Okay, confess. What are these demons looking for, self? Do you follow my point? What was it? The truth is that the girl had the power. She had given her life to Christ. She hadn't left the power alone. Why did she hold? It was his demonic power. It was like, this is my property, and Satan wouldn't leave it alone. This other girl would be exerting energy, trying to drive them away. But they kept coming back. Why? Because they had property there. It was, I don't know, I can't remember, I read it quite a while ago. And I've used it to explain some things before. Now, it was a kind of spiritual energy she had. She knew how to do some things. I've forgotten exactly what now. And she had held it as her last line of defense. If the spirits came after her, she was planning to fight back.